Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Mario Draghi is again thrust in the spotlight as Italian leaders begin the process of electing the country's next president. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. More than 1,000 members of the Italian parliament and regional representatives begin voting today for the person who will replace Sergio Mattarella as the country's president. The secret ballot process has been compared to electing a pope. There will be a new ballot every day until a consensus is reached. Mario Draghi has been floated as a potential leading candidate. Dubbed Super Mario, the former European Central Bank chief, is largely credited with saving the euro during the eurozone debt crisis. Last year, he became Italy's prime minister as the country looked to chart a course out of the coronavirus pandemic and decide how to spend $240 billion in recovery funds to rebuild the economy. Italian economist Lorenzo Codogna says he thinks Draghi's chances at getting the nod are 50-50.
I think Draghi could equally fit as president or could remain as prime minister. I think it would be equally good for the country. The problem is how we get to that point and the risks that the country would face in case something goes wrong. Eventually, Italy will have a president. But again, immediately after that, there might be a political crisis because the parties might no longer be willing to support the Draghi government, and that would precipitate early elections. Now, in a year that is so important for the EU recovery plan and Italy's delivery on the promises in terms of reforms and investments, losing, say, 5-6 months of policymaking would be something that Italy cannot afford to do.
So is the concern around the EU funding more that it's Mario Draghi, who could not be in the prime minister position, figuring out how all those funds are distributed and how they're used? Or is it that you sort of have this gap in leadership for a few months?
Well, I think it's generally perceived, or at least many people in Italy would perceive, that Draghi has done a good job over the past year and that he deserves to continue this job. Moreover, Draghi is not a politician and has a huge reputation and authority, and at the moment is the only person that can actually broker a deal with such a diverse and litigious majority. Italy now has a national unity government, which effectively brings together parties from the left and the right, with only the exception of a far-right party. And so bringing together such diverse political parties on a unifying program is a very challenging task. And again, probably Draghi is the best person right now to do the job.
Italian economist Lorenzo Codogna, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
Well, as that election begins today, Italy's main share index is down 1.8% in Milan. It's a similar picture across European markets as we check some other numbers now. Benchmarks in Frankfurt, Paris, and Madrid are down in the 1.1 to 1.4% range. That's after fresh figures showed the economic recovery weakened this month across the eurozone as countries dealt with outbreaks of the Omicron coronavirus variant, and as investors continue to keep tabs on escalating tensions between Russia and Ukraine. International nursing organizations are today warning the pandemic has made a chronic global shortage of nurses even worse. A new report from the groups say underfunding, staff shortages, and burnout have exacerbated the problem, and it estimates 13 million new nurses will be needed over the next decade. The BBC's Imogen Folks has that story from Geneva.
Even in countries with well-funded healthcare systems, there is now a shortage of nurses. In Switzerland, 10% have left the profession since the pandemic began. Today's report estimates the world will need 13 million new nurses over the next decade. The only way to avoid a healthcare crisis, it says, is a global 10-year plan to increase nurse training systems and make nursing more attractive through better pay and more flexible working conditions. There should be no poaching by wealthy countries of nurses from developing nations, the report warns. Instead, nurses everywhere need to be supported, valued, and recognized for the vital work they do.
Starting today in France, the rules around access into public spaces are getting stricter. Previously, unvaccinated customers could show proof of a negative test to enter various venues. Now, though, in order to board intercity trains, visit cafes, restaurants, or movie theaters, everyone over the age of 16 must prove they've received their full course of COVID-19 vaccines. But just over here in the English Channel, the rules in England are loosening today as workers are no longer required to work from home. The BBC's Will Bain has that story.
Familiar sounds for millions of workers across England today. The early alarm.
Mind the gap.
The sound of the commute to the office. As today marks the first day since the government dropped restrictions like mandatory wearing of face masks in shops and public spaces, the end of COVID passes for large events, and the end, too, of guidance to work from home.
Morning, gang. How are we doing?
Hello.
For these staff at the Pet XI training firm in the city of Coventry, it was welcome news.
I'm buzzing. I haven't seen everybody in the company yet, to be fair. So it's nice to see everybody, happy faces.
Yeah, I do feel safe.
It was music, too, for the ears of city centre businesses who rely on office workers, say popping for lunch or to grab some groceries, or heading for a post-work pint. Clive Watson is the chief executive of the City Pub Group. He said the return to work, though, was about more than just his sector's health.
I think we've got to remember about people going back to the office, it's not just to help the hospitality industry, it's to help everyone in the office. I mean, every junior staff needs to be able to go to someone in the office to help them with their roles. They can't really do that from home. I think it builds up that culture within a business as well.
For others, though, the news is less welcome, as this recruitment consultant from Birmingham told a BBC phone-in.
I feel I'm far more productive at home. I can start work earlier. I feel easier with working later into the evening because I'm already home. I don't have to incur the costs of travelling into work.
And Paul Novak of Britain's biggest trade union, the TUC, called on employers to have sensible conversations with their staff.
What's really important, actually, is rather than blanket mandates or unhelpful language about shirkers getting back to the office, employers have sensible conversations with the staff about how that return will happen, people's preferred patterns of working, and crucially, what can employers do to give people confidence that their workplace is COVID secure and is as safe as possible?
As the latest wave of the pandemic here looks set to be easing, questions about what the new normal for work looks like are about to return. In London, I'm the BBC's Will Bain for Marketplace.
And also here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.